What's up and welcome back to the Kind of Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the Nitro Rifle, Andy Cortez.
Got an apple stuck in my teeth, everybody. Might need to cancel the episode.
Of course, we're also joined by the big daddy himself, looking beautiful in fuchsia, Greg Miller.
The fucked up thing is that's an apple he ate when he visited Texas. Right, kids? That's how this fucking guy is. He's not like your average horse eating an apple a day, all right?
Yeah.
So hold on. So the dentist says, you know, the apple a day. What the horses eat apples.
Doctor, but
the
horses, doctor says that.
Doctors. Okay.
Horses eat apples all the time, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but not just every day, not just one a day. I don't know. We have the big dog.
When you feed him, you got to keep your palm flat. You don't want him to bite the knuckle. You know what I mean, Kev?
You don't bite the knuckles right off you.
Have you ever fed a horse, Kev?
Yeah.
You ever fed a human?
Yes.
There's a fucking energy. I hate that when we record these, it's like usually before we have a full week of recording KF podcasts and all that other stuff. So there's just like a weird energy that I'm feeling. Are you feeling it too, producer / seducer Nick Scarpino?
I am. And I've got so many questions. A, do horses, are they only allowed one apple a day, Greg? Yeah. Is that how it is? Or is there certain, can you do it more? Secondly, the fuchsia in the background looks fantastic. Everyone's got delicate shades of fuchsia.
I just want to be clear. So it's not pink, though. You know what I mean?
It's pink. If you put it on the far side of your monitor, it becomes pink, depending on how shitty your monitor is.
Yeah, I think you just have a shitty
monitor. You look like you're in a North Dakota snowstorm right now, so don't talk shit to me, all right? No color in your house, man, all right?
I don't have any hues in here. You're right.
You are right. Of course, this is the kind
of
funny.
They wouldn't work just like in Andy's room. Go V or go home, I always say.
I hate you so much.
You can go to youtube.com/kindoffunny or roosterteeth.com for whatever reason. And for some reason, I feel like I'm saying that more and more when I intro shows. Why are you even watching this? Why are you even listening? But we appreciate you for doing so, because this is the Kind of Funny screencast where each and every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movie trailers. You can get it on YouTube, like I was saying, or you can get it on your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kind of Funny screencast on any of the podcast services out there. That's a challenge. If there's a podcast service it's not on, please tweet at me at Tim Geddes. Let me know and we'll change that. We'll fix that because we're trying to serve you and your ears. If you want to get the show ad free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers Molecule, James Davis, and Pranksy have all done. And if you wanted to be a part of the show, you can go to kindoffunny.com/screencast to write in your questions, theories, and thoughts about whatever we're talking about, and we'll talk about them on the show. But let's get right into it. Nick Scarpino, what did you think about Peacemaker, episode 5?
I liked it. I continue to like the show. I think this way might have been the first one for me where some of the comedy wore kind of thin, specifically the Ariana Grande stuff where he's like, you could have picked anyone. I think that could have been a lot stronger. And there were just some of those moments where I'm like, I feel it started to dip into that territory of like Family Guy needs to fill 5 minutes. So Peter just hits his knee. And it goes, you know, a little bit there and there, even though obviously it's not as a streaming show. It can be off by a minute or two here and there. But overall, I really, really liked it. I'm intrigued. The show continues to have unbelievably ridiculous wow moments, i.e. the gorilla. And also end on a little bit of a cliffhanger that keeps me wanting to come back for more of it. And again, John Cena had some really nice moments in this as well where he got kind of real. And I think like, it's interesting watching him be so unbelievably like emotionally unavailable to people, but then he has those wonderful moments. Like the more fucked up he is, the more gratifying it is where he does have that breakthrough moment with Dyebeard, where he's like, you're a fucking stud, and boom, and like, okay, they're gonna be friends forever now, and then they all come back, and even Harcourt's kind of starting to get in on it, so they're kind of gelling as a team, which is great. That was enjoyable, but yeah, just a couple of pieces of the humor that kind of took me out of it for a hot second. But you know what? That's the James Gunn way.
Andy Cortez, you weren't here last week, but what'd you think about this episode?
This was probably my second favorite episode next to the debut of it, of episode one. I don't disagree with Nick. I feel like the way Nick feels now is how I've kind of felt the whole series for the last 5 episodes. I feel like I haven't really been as in tune with the humor as I would have hoped for, especially for something from James Gunn. I don't disagree in that this episode still had a lot of that humor that was just kind of like, okay, we get where you're taking this. It's kind of enough. But I do really appreciate sort of the camaraderie that we saw throughout all the team members. And I really enjoyed all of them just kind of, you know, gelling in this episode. It was really kind of sweet to see. I don't know why Greg is laughing.
I guarantee he's thinking gelling like Magellan. Is that what you're thinking right now, Greg? What is it?
I've been Googling for articles about Hue lights causing fires or something.
Great. That's a great use of your time on this podcast.
I can't find any because they're really safe, but I was so excited to find them and start sending them.
This
is Gus. Did like a 3-hour PS I love you. I'm sorry, everyone.
Yeah, so this episode is definitely my favorite of the since the first episode that we saw. And I really enjoyed kind of seeing the team come together and have some sweet kind of levity there, because as y'all know, I haven't really loved the whole squad this whole time, but this one I kind of enjoyed seeing them kind of, you know, come together and become friends in a really cool, neat way.
Greg Miller.
Sorry again, I didn't mean to derail us there. I know it's a serious show. You know, I obviously love James Gunn. I think we all do, coming off of Guardians of the Galaxy, if you want to go further back, something like Slither or whatever. But I would have never, when they announced Peacemaker, I was like, really? Like, and as cool as James or whatever, I'm sure I'll like it or whatever. I never in a million years would have thought that I would be sitting here during episode 5 with the realization of like, fuck, this is my favorite DCEU thing so far. Like, and I, you know, they could easily screw it up or whatever and knock it off course or whatever. I guess not easily, because James is so talented and the cast is so good.
Great. Not to really too much, but like, what, up till this point, what would you have said was?
It's that funny thing of like, I when I had that realization last night and stepped back and I'm like, what is it? I was like, oh, yeah, right. It's the DCEU. Whereas like, I'm the DC Guardians? Fanboy of the group, right? And there hasn't been something I think that's a runaway success that I look at and go, oh, yeah, that nailed it. Even Birds of Prey, which I really liked, I was still like, these aren't characters I care about. You know what I mean? And I mean that both as a DC fan who likes Superman, who likes Batman, and likes the core stuff and the heroes, right? But also in terms of the movie, they made them entertaining. Harley with the sandwich is funny. Like, I like Huntress, whatever. She was comical, but I didn't care about them. And that's the difference here with Peacemaker.
Not Suicide Squad?
No. I mean, like, I liked Suicide Squad again. But it's a very similar thing of like, okay, Bloodsport's cool, but it doesn't give a fuck, but he kind of gives a fuck. And Peacemaker's cool, and Ratcatcher's cool. Like, it's always when you get into a series that's good, I feel, when we talk about this or you know, the MCU shows, you start, you know, not grading on a curve, but obviously these get extra credit because I just get to exist with these characters in such a way, right? And to get to this through this episode and have it be, you know, tasting and Peacemaker sitting on the couch, you know, sharing a beer and that horrible drink and just fucking around, I was like, fuck, I love these characters, and like, I care about these characters. And again, like, you know, when I hit play on this episode, it was that thing of like, what happened again? And oh, fuck, right. Episode 4 ends in that great musical moment, and he's on the ground, you know, clearly having a breakdown, and, you know, the bug rolls in and the eagle to pick right back up for it. It's like, I care. I have never. Peacemaker is a character I knew nothing about, well, very little about, obviously, from DC history. Knew very little about before Suicide Squad. Left Suicide Squad being like, well, he sucks, whatever. And now I'm in this show and like, I care so much about him and his journey and what's going on with him. And this is the stuff we still don't know about his brother and him finding this and like how heartbreaking it was to see Tasty plant the diary. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh, fuck. Like,
that was the point that I was going to bring up, Greg. I was like, that scene was so good. And it was really capped off by her. She hides it the first time and goes, what am I doing? And you're like, oh, good. She's not going to do it. And then, of course, she hides it in a better spot. And it's heartbreaking because you're like, he just admitted to her. He's like, I never thought I'd have this, which is a friend. Like, I have a friend, a Conrad, or someone who got like a drinking buddy that I can hang out with. And then she, of course, has to go and, you know, abide by her mother's sort of wishes, or not wishes, I guess, orders. And it's really conflicting and it's sad. But that's good. That's like a good emotional reaction we're having to this show. It's something that we actually 100%. Care about, which is great.
And it's that thing where it's like, you know, there's that. There's the stuff you already kind of mentioned, right, Nick, of like seeing him and Economos or whatever it is become friends, like finally have that moment. First off, be called out about the dyebeard thing, then get into again. It's all delivered with funny stuff as Vigilante explains all the penis nicknames and how that happened and how they, you know, and then to get to them being at the end and celebrating together. Yeah. And, you know, shaking hands. It's like,
people picked on me. Why? Well, I was such a bully, you know? They call me a bully.
that was such a great... I mean, all of the commentary on bullying in general is so great in the show. And it's so... Like, you see him come around and be like, oh, shit, like, I am kind of doing that. But then also, he just kind of goes double down into it as well.
I'm dominating a bit here. But, like, then again, like, this movie is delivering something I've wanted out of all the other DCEU movies, whether it be Batman v Superman or whether it be Justice League or whatever. And that's building a universe and making it normal, right? Like, it's when every MCU thing we watch, like, there'll be a mention of the blip or this or Captain Rogers or whatever. And, like, the fact that, again, I don't know what's going on in James Gunn's head or whatever he negotiated with HBO, but, like, for them to be able to sit here and after every episode, James Gunn usually tweets the character he's introduced to the world and made canon. And the fact that he fucking made Kite Man, hell yeah, canon. It's like, fuck yes. You know what I mean? Like, there's such a world they've... Just the casual conversation of Superman also likes go, like, what, X-Men Shizen or whatever when he does the thing of making... Where do you get this? Google. Like, Google. It was so fucking good to see them all have these conversations. I love this show. I love this episode. I love this world.
Kevin Koala.
I'm in the same boat as Greg, where it's like, I'm blown away by this. Same thing when it was announced. I was like, ah, I don't know. Like, he was a fine character in the thing, but, like, I don't know if they can do a whole movie. And it's like, man, I can't believe how hard I've laughed and how much they've, like, really, really had my attention with stuff. Like, one of the funniest jokes in the season for me was the vigilante being like, I wanted to use the chainsaw. And the other dude coming in with it, and he'd be like, yeah, it's kind of funny that you came in with a chainsaw, and I just talked about that.
Yeah.
And it's just funny. Like that, but like that sense of humor is such a very specific thing of like set up time, then like cool moment, then punchline to it. That it's just right. Like, it's so good. I mean, I loved it. I love this episode. The action I thought was really fun. Again, I am fully invested on the story. The way this one ends with the journal, I can't wait to find out what's going on with that. But then also, we get the... What's the name of the character? She finds out that the director is bad. Yeah, right, with
Adebayo.
The X-ray.
Adebayo.
Yeah. She finds out the director's bad. So I'm so excited to see where next week's episode... Right. Like, I think this for sure. Week, more than most weeks, I ended and I was just like... I can't believe how on the edge I am for this next episode.
Yeah, I want to throw that out there. Just, and Tim, I want to ask you your opinions on this as well. But the action in this one, I thought, was especially good, to Kevin's point. Like, I was scared for them when they were trapped in that room. The way they mm-hmm. choreographed the butterflies, that they're ripping through the fences and stuff like that, and that scream they do, I was like, this is very entertaining and kind of tense. It's
But really it was good. Such a great follow-up, right? Because you have the two different tracks of what's happening. Peacemaker walks in. He's like, can I help you? As soon as they went to the wide, I'm like, can I help you? I'm like, oh, she's about to get shot. Yeah. Boom, cha-cha, boom. Just.
And then Bio is like, I thought you were going to be cool. He's like, don't I look cool? Like, don't I look cool? That was great. Tim, what did you think of this episode?
I absolutely love the show, and I feel like it is really kind of James Gunn, like, at his best, because it's kind of mixing the kind of like fun action, comedy, character storylines, and like horror elements in a way that this episode in particular, I think, really kind of showcased his skill set. Like, that whole gorilla fight, the action was awesome. And the way the camera shot the entire thing felt like a video game, and it almost felt Resident Evil-esque. And like, mm-hmm. it reminded me a lot of even like Metal Gear Solid, like their older ones. And I think that's even accentuated by his use of the music and score, not just the licensed tracks that are awesome and always fucking great. But there's like a chiptune-y vibe to a lot of the stuff that we saw introduced in the Judo Master fight a couple mm-hmm. episodes ago. But even in the gorilla fight, there was like hints of that happening. And I just like it that it's kind of like this fantastic world that is almost Scott Pilgrim-esque, but it's more grounded. It's more like everything's actually going on in this world because we're dealing with superheroes here. And the cast and crew that we have of these characters just continues to mesh in a way that I'm so invested in all of them that I can't believe that. Like, we keep saying, oh, I can't believe I care about Peacemaker. Like, I can't believe I care about the team. I can't believe that seeing Harcourt take the picture and text it to the team, like, made me feel something. I wanted to see each of their reactions, be happy about it. And like, it felt earned, which is like such a hard thing for this tier of character we're talking about. And then for it to end on the diary thing is heartbreaking. That's the word Greg said, and it's the note I wrote down. And like, I could have never thought that a D character on Peacemaker would break my heart with a plot point. Like, it's very, very well done. And like, I can't wait to see where the show goes. Greg, you had your hand raised.
No, I was chiming in on it with, like, exactly, like, you know, when they had the text thread and they named it the 11th Street Gang or Badass. Boys or whatever it was, right? I was like, oh man, like that's such a great attention to detail, and you can see how happy they all are to be in that group chain and fuck around with each other. It's great.
Yeah, it was like, it's just like the time, like, we weren't actually a company, Greg, until that one time where you texted me a photo of yourself in a hotel room shirtless, and you just had the body hair perfectly glistening in like the mid afternoon light, and I was like, now we're a fucking team. Now our team, and now I'm going to send this to Kevin every year on the anniversary of that photo.
The anniversary. Before we get to you, Andy, let me tell you about our sponsors. Sorry about that. Go for it.
I did not. I didn't love the way the director or whatever kind of caught Adebayo looking at him through the X-ray thing. Mm. I was kind of hoping for a different sort of ending. It felt kind of like unjustified that he just like monster mode.
That's my
like
question, though, right? Do we think he's a bad guy? Because we've already had it. We have already had that sort of dispelled a little bit by Judah Masters. Like, they're not what you think. I have this weird feeling that he actually is a good guy, and maybe Waller knows has known he's a butterfly the whole time.
I think the biggest thing against everything is that, like, we're introduced to that other mercenary guy, and then suddenly he's the sheriff, right, or something, right? He takes over the
prison or the jail.
Yeah, but like, do you guys think that's the same guy, or do you think that's him with a butterfly in him?
Merz put him onto it? Merns? Mm-hmm. I keep calling him Merz. It's Mern, right?
Mern.
I think that guy does. So, okay. I think the new sheriff in town doesn't know that Mern is a butterfly.
So you thought that was the same. Sorry, go ahead.
I think he's working with Amanda Waller and all of them, and so he's in there just to get the heat off of them so they can move without the police fucking it up. And that's evident, I thought, by when they sit down and they're in his hotel room, right? They talk about a mission they already ran or whatever, and he's like, I've changed a lot since then. Yeah, like, they talk not in, hey, we're two aliens hanging out in these people. They talk as if one of them doesn't know the other is evil.
That's what I'm saying. I thought at that point, He didn't have the butterfly in him yet.
Mern got him.
And then later got the butterfly in him.
So you think that's a flashback? Because we already saw him an episode before stuff as a butterfly. Yeah. I do not think the sheriff has a butterfly in him.
Great job, Tim.
That's not me. I hate this. Why would Kevin have this power?
Is that Rocket Raccoon? Oh,
man. Greg, I think that I see where Kevin's going, that maybe the audience is meant to think that maybe the deputy has some sort of that he has the butterfly in him now, just because he seemed to be acting in a very odd way. But I think it was maybe a red herring, Kevin. I don't think he has any sort of butterfly in him. That being said, I still don't love that sort of like reaction to the X-ray vision. It seemed like it just didn't make a whole lot of sense that he would have known what she was doing at that moment. I would have preferred more of a twist where Adebayo was like, shit, I have this info now. What do I do with it? How do I disseminate that to the crew?
I think we're going to pick up with him not hurting her, but doing like, hold on, let me explain. And I think he's going to.
You think so?
I think he's going to reveal his part of the plot, device of what he's doing and what they're up to.
Because she's too major of a character to die right now. I mean, it would be amazing if they were like, we're going to Game of Thrones this motherfucker and kill whoever we want. But I have a feeling he's a good guy, or at least it's a
maybe like us. Like, he's just trying to be a good guy, you know?
Exactly. And just surrounded by a bunch of punks. You know what I was confused about, though, was like the sheriff was like, stand down, detective. And I was like, I don't think you guys work for the same branch of the law enforcement. Like, she is a detective with a police department. You're a sheriff's officer running a prison. I don't think you have authority over her, but I could be wrong.
It's all right, really Kevin? Complicated. That's all really complicated.
Because he's technically like, higher. He outranks her, but they're not. She's not. I'd be like, no, motherfucker. Like, you're not my boss.
I mean, it's whose jurisdiction are they in is the question.
What about jurisprudence?
Right?
Is that a thing?
There it is.
So this has been driving me crazy every episode. So there's the two cops, right?
Yeah, detectives.
Who is the actor of the dude cop?
Lachlan Monroe.
He's the guy from A Night at the Roxbury.
Scary movie.
I think he was the Scary Movie guy. Yeah, I think that's what I know him from. I remember him being silly in movies.
Yes. Okay.
And then the other actress is named Annie Chang. She plays Sophia Song. She's phenomenal in this. All the back and forth she has with Robert Patrick. She's like, I'm out of white guys. I can't.
Yeah. I love it. And earlier you were talking about the humor kind of not working for you with the it could have been anyone. It could have been Ariana. It could have been this. Could have been that. That type of humor for me, I think, with this show really works because John Cena is so good at delivering it whether it's improv or scripted, it feels so funny where they always choose the funniest names for me. So it gets through the Family Guy kind of, him hitting his knee, like you were talking about earlier, type of joke, even though it feels that way, because James Gunn is so good at writing the perfect paced narrative of names that like get increasingly funnier and different and varied, where it's not just like, oh, a bunch of actresses or whatever. He's like, there's cartoon characters, there's like commercial characters, like that stuff like really works for me, because like it's like the fun type of reference humor that doesn't just come off as like, remember this. It's like, it feels like it's building a character more, and so I really like that. Yeah. And then it being backed up later in a different way with the Lucy Liu, I'm running out of white guy stuff, like I thought that was like really clever and funny.
Yeah, again, I don't want to paint this as like an overarching problem. I think this is just kind of James Gunn in a nutshell for me, and I've talked about this with every James Gunn movie we saw, including Guardians of the Galaxy. He just loves to throw so much stuff into his movies joke wise that sometimes they don't hit for me and sometimes they do. Like in this same episode, got the biggest laugh, or maybe one of the biggest laughs out of any of the episodes so far, which is when he kills him with the chain. He kills the gorilla with the chainsaw, which, by the way, the CG on that looked great. The CG in the show with the animals was fantastic. And that's really, really, really a good thing because it doesn't take you out of it immediately. When he kills him, and John Cena just looks at him, you're like, oh, this is it. They're going to become friends right now. He goes, you are a fucking stud. I was like, yeah, dude. That killed me. So, it's not detrimental, I don't think, to the series. I think I'd rather have them shoot their shots more often than not and miss a little bit for me than have them be too subdued.
It also has a line that I love so much of like, yeah, a grenade kills like two people.
Yeah. She's like, what's a good? She's like, how big is an explosion? I don't know. I just invented it this morning.
My favorite joke of this episode has been kind of set up, and like there's been little tiny payoffs throughout the series, but I love that all the helmets look exactly the same. And I love that she looks at him like, what's the new helmet do? It's like, why would you know it's a new helmet? They all look fucking identical.
No, they look different. The fins are different.
And this one had like a black stripe on it, like a matte black stripe on it. If you go back and look,
I need to go back and look. I thought they all look identical, but they all do slightly different things.
This one has like a different. I think it had like a different form factor to it. They all kind of look like Jesus Christ, like a halo.
Yeah, they have different like silhouettes, kind of like different.
That's really funny
things hanging off of them.
But I do love that. Like, I love the even the meta joke of he has to switch helmets in a universe where this guy has the technology to make a multi-dimensional, like a storage compartment that exists outside of our dimension.
White supremacist.
Yeah, white supremacist. He still can't dial in two pieces of technology into each helmet. It's got to be one, like one helmet does X-ray. The other one has a sonic blast. The other one has this, that. It's like maybe on a low-key weird note, he's just doing that so that his son comes back to visit every once in a while. But at the same time, we're like, why don't you just make one helmet to rule them all so I can have all this technology in it? It's funny.
I did love that moment of conflict between the two cops being like, damn, we got to let free the white supremacist, like the KKK guy. We got to let that guy out of jail. And there is that moment where, the couple that, end up kind of admitting to it, being like, you're really going to do that? Like, come on. What? It's obvious that you should do the right thing here. So I thought that was a really kind of cool moment to see, like, damn, maybe we should just keep him in there and not look at the evidence or whatever. But we'll see what happens now with what's his face? I keep forgetting the actor's name. Robert Patrick. Yeah. Augie Smith. Terminator.
Call him T-1000.
T-1000.
By the way, even that scene when we return to the couple's place again, those two are hilarious. Yeah. Where she's like, I don't know. He goes, babe, now's not the time to lie. And they start yelling at each other. But they're like, then the guy was like, he had to give it up. He's like, okay, it was this guy. But he was actually a really nice guy, kind of. And like, he treated us really well. He's a pretty cool guy.
I loved the intro to the episode with Eagly. I mean, first off, I just love Eagly. But I love that Eagly is now just a known quantity. Well, we're all just like, oh yeah, Eagly's there. They're hanging out. Just John Cena, this bird. And James Gunn's so good at the writing characters that we just believe in it. And we just want to see them together. And like, that's fun as hell because it's so stupid and it shouldn't work.
Eagly, like, and this is how dumb I am. For the first couple episodes, I was like, man, they fucking trained that eagle real well.
Oh,
no.
I'm like,
oh, no, this is probably CG. Oh, I was like, why were they, but right when it hugged him, I was like, that's theoretically possible, right?
I don't think so.
An eagle to hug someone. But then he put his arm around him. I was like, oh, no, I don't think so. Maybe, though, because eagles are smart. They're smart birds.
Where do we think the Robert Patrick storyline is going?
It's a good question.
I think they're, if I had to guess, they're either setting him up for a season two, being the big baddie in that, or, because, I mean, they're really burying this deep. They're going to have some sort of resolution and or it's going to come to a head in this episode or in this season. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's around for the next one. He's kind of like the big bad guy. And it's like all about white supremacists.
Or we need to get that moment where Robert Patrick's like, son, come with me. And he's like, no, dad, not anymore. I'm not going with, like, are we going to get that sort of thing happening?
Well, we still need to get a resolution with him and his brother. Yeah. So that's going to come through. That's going to be a thing. And I think that emotionally, like, he has to basically, like, tell his dad off. He has to stand up to his dad and be like, I'm no longer on this track. I'm with these other people. But it's going to be, of course, spoilers. He's going to find the diary, or someone's going to find the diary and frame him, and he's going to realize that he's been double-crossed by his own team. So that's going to be more conflict for him.
But he'll get over it.
He's going to cry again. John Cena's had to cry, like, every single episode.
I love him so much. He's so good.
Just when he found his family, he's going to get screwed over again. This is going to suck. I don't want to see that. Go ahead.
Big question for me, though. I mean, the only problem I really have with this episode is, who's watching Judo Master? Where did he go? The whole team's gone. Where's Judo Master?
He's probably dead, right?
No, he had him on life support last time. Remember they made that joke about moving his liver up to be his heart?
Yeah, like,
they brought him back and he's
like, I thought he hung on just for a little longer.
Did he? I don't know. I have a feeling he's coming back, and I think he's going to be part of the team going forward, because that would be unbelievable.
I mean, it's so interesting. I mean, we don't know if there's going to be a season two, and I kind of get the vibe that there won't be a direct follow-up to this.
But
I hope we get something. But I think that we're going to see, I mean, we have three episodes left, right? There's five, so we have six, seven, eight left.
Sounds
like,
right.
I have imagined we're going to get the answers, like, of what Robert Patrick's doing and all that stuff. Like, I think it'll come to a head this season, because we're running out of things to deal with. Because it's like,
but the problem is, we haven't really seen him do anything nefarious. He's not setting up a storyline where he's like trying to break all these people out and becoming he's just trying to prove, kind of rightfully, unfortunately, that he's been framed for murder. Yeah. And he's like, at every turn, people somewhere in the higher ups, and I love that conversation about the deep state, which is like, it's not a deep state thing. He's like, are there or are there not operatives of the government that nobody knows about that are operating in secret? He goes, okay, that is deep state, yeah. But I don't know. Like, I think it's all going to be just B-story plot. Like, I don't think it's going to be a big, I don't know, maybe he breaks out and he puts the suit back on and he's ready to rock and roll again. But
yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem like they're building to anything. It just seems like he's in prison and, like, there's more history there with the character, especially with him going to prison and, like, there being, you know, a white supremacist like faction in prison. So I don't know that's going anywhere. I'm more curious to see.
Greg, we're going to see him put on the white dragon suit. We're going to see him put on the white dragon suit.
You think so? Let's
raise the question.
Can you call James Gunn and say, what's going on with, can you tell us what happens with Robert Patrick's character at the end of this? Is he going to be?
No, he might tell you. Don't.
Yeah, don't spoil it for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's interesting, Andy. I'm not sure we see him in the suit.
I actually, now that you're bringing that up, Andy, that it makes sense to me for him to go after Vigilante and be like, hey, what the fuck's going on? So I wonder if that we're going to see that crisis hit at the same time that the journal, like, whatever they're doing with the journal, because that's what I'm most interested in. Like, what is this an actual journal that he has? Because I could totally see Peacemaker having a journal that he writes in. Incredible. You know,
oh, 1,000%.
It's like, and it was like bejeweled.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it definitely made it look like the kind of thing he would make.
It was incredible.
So I mean, I could see that all crescendoing at the same time. You know,
what was the joke with the drink? I missed it. Why did it taste bad?
Because that's a terrible combination.
Yeah,
oh, okay. So Eagly didn't piss in it or something like that?
No. Okay. God, that was hilarious too when she tries to go to the bathroom and Eagly's in her.
Oh, Eagly. Any closing thoughts on the episode?
Liked it.
I can't wait for more. I'm right there with Kevin.
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm with everyone else. This is another one where I was like, close it down. I'm like, if this show was all out right now, if we were doing it all at once,
I would have binged it.
Binge this, because it's just so binge worthy. But Tim, I know you don't like binge. I know you like watching week to week, and you're getting your damn wish, of course, again.
I love week to week, everybody. Let us know in the comments below what you think about week to week, what you think about Peacemaker, and what you think about Greg Miller's fuchsia. Until next time, I love you all. Goodbye.
Go V or go home.